Isaiah. Isaiah 66. We are, did they tell you anything about what we're doing in the 3-year cycle and all that? Nothing. He rescued you.
I told him it was a Tupperware party.
2 second summary. We.
Time's up.
We are trying to duplicate the cycle of readings that was done by Christ and the disciples. And they read a section of the law, the prophets, and the writings each week. And we've been able to pull those out of the ancient Jewish Talmud. And so like these readings in the board, it's the month of Tishri in Hebrew, which is, for us, it's October 7th to October 13th. And so we read those readings and then read the appropriate New Testaments to show how Christ was the fulfillment of all the law and the writings and the prophets. So that's... But this is the... This week, this reading is for the week of Tabernacles, the eighth day. Now, the Leviticus... Pardon? Yeah. No, Tabernacles was the seventh. Was seventh the... Yes.
Monday
was the seventh, anyway. But... The Leviticus 9 is the reading, and that's, you know, on the eighth day, it's the way it begins. And then Isaiah 66 is the prophet, and we're going to read Isaiah 66 first for a reason that you'll see when I... Remember, this is when they're dedicating the temple. We just read in Kings, when this is the reading at the time they dedicated the temple, at the time the temple was being built, and they were just learning the ordinances. This is some incredible stuff. Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. We've just gone through all this stuff, right, in Leviticus, the offerings. It says this is what you have to do. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. What the hell does that mean? I mean, he's just gotten through telling them in Leviticus that they have to kill oxes and do all these oblations and sacrifices. And the reading in Isaiah, the prophet, for the same point says, if you do it, it's as if you're killing a man or offering swine's blood. Well, the point of it was that God always intended that the law be the allegory to show forth the reality. The reality was always there. It was always right before him. Abraham saw the day of Christ. Moses saw the day. Every one of the prophets saw the day. They saw Christ as the fulfillment of it all. So even in the ancient times, all up to the present, there's only been the one day. And that's what we're going to talk about. That's what the rest of this says. The reason, he says, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Because what happened in the midst of the process of the sacrifice, they were still offering the sacrifice towards their own ends, their own idolatry. Just as today the Christian church offers its sacrifice, i.e. Christ God stuff, but places the name of God in their own abominations, their own idolatry, their own plans, their own ambitions, and then they say, God has told me to do this. God has told me to build America, or God has told me to kill a commie, or God has told me to... You know, that's all perfect BS. It's the same thing that they were doing here. God's will is only expressed in your abandonment of self, giving no thought for tomorrow. And just as Israel took the sacrifices of the law and brought them to their own idolatries, so we take the ultimate sacrifice, that of the Son of God, and place His blood and His name on our own idols. Have a nice family. How to have a good sex life. How to be this. How to do that. How to be successful. How to get more stuff. All of those are putting the name of God in your idolatry. And that's what this chapter of Isaiah is about. Does everybody see that? Okay, now, because of this, it's interesting to see what God says. He says, I will also choose their delusions and will bring their own fears upon them. This, Larry loves his scripture. This is right up there with getting sawed in half. But you see, it's even God that is making the delusion in your mind, and because He's making that delusion, He is then bringing the fear of the failure of that delusion upon them. Why? So they'll be fully tested, so they won't chase after that idol anymore, so that idol will be destroyed. He will bring their delusions, and He will cause their own fears to come upon them, just as He's done in each of your lives. And so therefore you think it's a strange thing when these trials come. It's not. It's God doing it. Capisce?
It makes me feel this great fear of speaking in the name of God and being totally convinced everything is right, and then it totally fails. And that's the biggest crushing blow you can have when everything you say you believe and profess to everyone, then it doesn't pan out.
Well, yeah, because God fails. Right. Because what you do, you confuse the things you believe with faith. I mean, that's what the church has taught the world to do. Okay, I believe in God, motherhood, and apple pie. Or I believe in having a nice family. Or I believe in nice stuff. Or I believe in eating right. I believe in nice table habits. I believe in being a nice little boy. You know, all the BS that you say you believe. Every one of those beliefs is an idol. Every one of them is wrong. Every one of them is prejudiced. And God's instrument of destroying those prejudices is an interesting one. It's whatever you're consciously against, you're subconsciously in favor of. And that's the instrument by which He destroys the idolatry. But we no longer must, we don't have the luxury of confusing faith with belief. Faith says, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Faith says, I don't know where I'm going. Faith says, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I really don't care. Because my life is His. Then you return to the joy of the small child in dependence on the perfect Father. But as soon as you begin to make the plans and ambitions and ideals and goals and then put God's name on them, it's meaningless. So He will choose your delusions, and He'll get you. I mean, He's a great tricker. He's going to choose your delusions, and then your fears, then He will bring your fears upon you. Why? To bring you to the point where you're snared and broken and taken without anything, and your hands are open before God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's see what else He says here. He says some neat stuff in this chapter. He says neat stuff in all the chapters. I will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. Why? Because they were too busy running after their own delusions in the name of God. Oh, I'm going to be a superstar for Jesus. I'm going to play my music for Jesus. That's what was happening when I met John. He was trying to hawk his record in my radio program.
John Tickle's
fine. Wouldn't go that far, would you?
No, but every one of you. That's what Gary was going to do. Gary was going to be a promoter for Jesus.
I wouldn't say it that way.
I was going to be a Presbyterian minister.
And Pete was going to be a communicator for Jesus.
Let's go around the room.
Ed's going to be a writer for Jesus. A whore for Jesus. No. We've all gone through it. I was going to be governor for Jesus.
Governor for Jesus.
I mean, I was. That didn't last very long. Now, Criswell didn't have to put up with this.
Tom was going to be Rambo for Jesus.
I will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them because they made fun of the preacher. No, it doesn't say that. It does not say that. It doesn't
say that. Better text.
No, it doesn't even say the better text there. That's...
Holy Dummy has a revised non-standard version.
Because when I called, none did answer because they were chasing after their own delusions in the name of God. When I spake, they did not hear, because they only heard their own thoughts of their own evil hearts, going self-seeking in the name of God. But they did evil before mine eyes. They did the ultimate evil, self-seeking, and chose that in which I delighted not, self, over all else. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, as they cast you out. I love this one. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who was? Jerusalem. The man-child is Christ. And now you are the new Jerusalem, and you're delivered of a man-child without effort. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And he brought it forth. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Yes, on the day of Pentecost. Or shall a nation be born at once? Yes. The nation of Israel was born in the day of Pentecost, the spiritual Israel, the Israel that's in all men. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? No. Because what he's promised, what he has begun in you will be finished. It's more sure than the sun's coming up. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. And not Jerusalem of the flesh. Paul wipes out Jerusalem of the flesh in Galatians. It's the new Jerusalem that's surrounding us. Now, rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Now at this point, remember, these were read on this day. And this is when Christ is, the priest is at the altar pouring out the wine and the water, and Christ is calling forth, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what. For you shall suck, and you shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforteth. The New Jerusalem is our only mother. But she's the perfect mother. And God is her only father. Call no man on earth father. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like as an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword shall the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouth, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Now what that says in the Hebrew is, they that sanctify themselves are as if they ate swine's flesh. They that purified themselves are as the abomination or the mouse. Both unclean, ultimate unclean animals. That's what your efforts to change yourself appear. Because it's just self-seeking in another guise. You are what you are by the grace of God. As John Song said, you're perfect from the moment that he sees you. And he sees you from the moment you say, Father, I'm yours, without condition. And then he slowly begins to deal with the compulsive behaviors that are so odious to you, and those are called what? The groves. Okay. For I know their works and their thoughts, they that sanctify themselves, they that try to purify themselves. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of unto the nations. I don't want to read it anymore. You can read the rest of it if you want to. That's Isaiah 66, Daryl.
Shall I read the rest?
No.
Are you just
going? I just want you to see the vanity of purifying yourself. I want you to see the vanity of making attempts to sanctify yourself. Now, what does it mean to purify yourself or sanctify yourself?
Quit doing something.
Quit doing something or start doing something.
If there's a good thing
doing it. None. Zero. Every time you're tempted in that domain, you give ground back to the enemy.
You mean like, I'm going to stop doing blah, 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 and I'll Amen. Be a better person, or I'm going to start doing blah, 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 and I'll be a better person.
Amen. Every time you do that, you're giving the ground, you're making the cross of Christ of none effect. I don't care how odious the thing that you do is. Behold the Lamb of God that hath taken away the sin of the world. The ultimate sin is self-seeking. The only unforgivable, the only unpardonable sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is unbelief in the efficacy of the power of God in you this moment. Now, all of you mock God. Every time you say that there is something in you or about a situation that's not changeable, that's not, his power isn't sufficient, that you will best God. What you're doing is you're mocking God in the same way that Sarah mocked God when she was told by God, when she was past menopause and when Abraham couldn't get it up, and she was told by God that she would have a child. And she laughed and mocked God. She didn't believe, just like you don't believe. But then an interesting thing happened. First of all, in time we see that it didn't matter whether she believed or not, because God was doing something. But the difference, the interface, as soon as she saw that she was mocking God, she feared. Every time we pray for someone, every time we lay hands on the sick, every time we pray for someone and you in your heart of hearts are mocking God by saying this can't happen, I'm here to tell you, you better fear. You better first confess it, and then you better fear. Otherwise, you're a spot and a wrinkle in the body of Christ. Your unbelief is okay. It's your refusal to speak the unbelief that is a phony, a sham, and everything else.
Yeah, it never comes to your consciousness, so you don't, you know, it's like you don't even...
Well, it doesn't come, yeah. It's just another instrument, another way to hide.
Yeah, it's buried.
It's another way to sanctify yourself, to purify yourself, and you do it...
You'd look like you believe.
Hey, look at me, I believe. But this reading was for the eighth day of the Feast of Pentecost, of the Feast of Tabernacles, Gibernacles.
Yeah, this fire thing in that verse where everything was destroyed by fire, you know.
Remember,
in Tabernacles,
right.
They set their little booths on fire.
Right, in Tabernacles, you remember, for 7 days of the feast, they had to live in booths outside. Then in the evening of the seventh day, or the end of the seventh day, they took the booths, and they, first of all, they beat them against the altar and knocked all the leaves off, and then they burned the wood. They also took the citron, or the paradise apple, which is the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and they smashed it as they marched around and smashed the apple against the base of the altar. So the knowledge of the tree of good and evil was destroyed at the evening of the seventh day, or the end of the seventh day, and your houses of leaves and of clay were destroyed. So your only permanent residence is in Jerusalem, and you're out of time, you're in eternity, you therefore have eternal life, now, not sometime in the future, and you live your life on that basis, and you call forth that which isn't as though it were, and they have a need is impossible, what?
I seem to be confused here.
All right.
I came to the Lord to confess my sins and to go to heaven, because I read in my Bible that unrighteousness and unholiness will not enter into the kingdom of God. Anyone who practices these things has them in their heart, in their life. And these things will not enter in the kingdom of God.
What is your definition of unrighteousness and unholiness?
Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envies, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarned you, and those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. But notice such things as fear, envy, along with murder.
We have to put these things to death.
They've already been put to death at the cross.
They need to be manifested in our lives, because we're supposed to be like Christ and take up our cross and die to these things.
Agreed.
Every day. And the grace of God leads us to repentance.
And which is, what is repentance? I'm sorry I did something?
Say, no. Lord.
That's repentance. That's repentance with regret.
The grace of God helps me to overcome these things. Jesus said in Revelation, he that overcomes will be given the crown of life.
I know, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says the repentance of the world, worldly repentance, is the repentance with regret. But godly repentance is repentance not to be repented of. There's no regret, because you see that every action that you've taken was necessary.
Where's that?
2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter.
See, Christ died so that we would be like him, so that we could be new creatures in him. He died so that we can be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people.
Granted, agreed.
And this Feast of Tabernacles you're talking about is, this is it right here.
What? The Bible?
Yeah, the feast. This is the food, the bread, the water. Right here.
Well.
This is the marriage supper of the Lamb right here.
Well, it's contained in it.
Everything in here is the Word of God. The Word of God never passes away. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is passing away. So everything in the world is passing away. The only thing that's going to live is the Word of God.
But who is the Word of God?
Jesus.
Okay, then that's not the Word of God. That's words about the Word.
No, this is the Word of God.
But the Bible says the Word of God is Jesus.
If Jesus abides in me and I in him, then the Father abides in me.
Well, granted, there's no argument.
The word came into the light came into the world, and men loved the darkness more than the light. This is the light of the world right here.
The Bible is the light of the world?
Yeah.
You find me where it says that.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right. Jesus. That's Jesus is the light of the world, not the Bible.
But the Word of God is Jesus.
The word Jesus, the Logos, he's the Word made flesh.
Jesus said, I am all, and everything that is in the world, he fulfilled it.
Amen.
There's no argument. Is there something I perceive that there's something that you have trouble with in what I said? Which did you have trouble with?
A lot of things you're saying is not lining up with what I'm reading.
Like what?
Doubt, I'm supposed to speak doubt.
You're supposed to speak what's there.
See, James says a double-minded man receives nothing from the Lord.
But you're double-minded. Not speaking if you don't
is being double-minded.
You're double-minded if you don't speak it.
If you don't speak it, then you don't even know that you're double-minded. That's the deal.
Are you saying you're perfect?
I'm saying Christ is perfect.
Well, I agree.
And he's calling us to be perfect.
But
he's calling us to be perfect.
No doubt. But when you ignore your own fear and doubt, does that make you perfect? When you put on the act and act like you're something that you're not?
That's duality.
That's the world. That's the church in the world. That's the nice little buildings and sanitized Christianity and put on the garment on Sunday.
No.
That's not real.
That's every day.
Well, granted, we meet every day. I granted. But don't tell me that you aren't supposed to confess what's there. I am what I am by the grace of God.
See, this Word of God is a mirror. This is the Lord. We look to the Lord for our help. He is our...
Well, what are you saying? You're just repeating cliches. Every one of us does that. That's all we do. But you're repeating some cliches that's trying to affect something in you that's bothering you. I don't want to hear your cliches. I want to hear what's going on in you. You want to debate scripture, we can do that all night, but that's not fruitful. I want to know what it is that caused you to have such a violent reaction that I perceived about 25 minutes ago.
I'm called by Christ to suffer.
Well, so what? What does that answer? I asked you what was done and what was said that bothered you.
That means if I'm tempted to lust, then I need to repent and turn away from it.
But lust,
grace to help me.
But read the scriptures. Lust doesn't mean sex. It means wanting more than you have.
Of course. Lusting for money.
For anything, more,
anything.
Whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Whether it's Bible knowledge or anything else, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now you are complete in him. It's finished. We live by his grace, not by our efforts to purify ourselves or sanctify ourselves or make ourselves better. We are either what we are totally by the grace of God, or we're little actors and actresses acting like we're something. And that's called Phariseeism. You want to act?
What is the book of Acts? The book of Acts is actions that Christians did.
I'm talking acting vis-a-vis putting on a face. Okay, if you have a doubt or fear or hate, then you say, oh no, I'm not supposed to have that. What you're saying when you do that is you're saying to God, why have you made me this? The cross is either total or it's nothing. Grace is either total or it's nothing.
Yeah. kept telling him, well, you men of little faith.
Well, what does that have to do with it? He said, believe on me. That's the work of God. Well, so
Peter fell in the water because he got his eyes off Christ.
Well, there's no argument. You're something. I mean, don't repeat cliches, Richard. Tell me what bothers you about what I said.
Is it the fact that you hear shits and fuck yous, and does that kind of, you know, those kind of things, or there's a kind of laughing, or there's a kind of what you would perceive or call as lewd jesting? Is that the kind of thing that offends you? I don't think it was, you know, that. I think when you first came in and you sat and you listened to people pour out and you heard John's song, I have to believe that you felt something within you that warmed your soul. But the moment that things didn't match up in here with what your idea of what a Christian should be, you were offended. You were offended because of the words that somebody used, and you thought that defiled you. Well, that doesn't defile you. You know, that people thought Christ was a drunkard, a wine bibber. He ran around with whores. He ran around with the worst kind of people. That everybody has opinions about what he was, but that did not change it. You know, you don't change who you are by putting on a face on the outside. The work of God is what happens within. Amen. You don't change what's on the outside. You be honest with what's on the inside before men, and God will pour through you.
Do the work.
He will do the work. It's His testimony. It's not the testimony of what you can appear to be. It says, Richard. It says that when they saw him, there was no form nor comeliness that men should desire him. There's nothing about looking on Jesus that's attractive. That's what the scriptures say. There's no reason why. I mean, he's not beautiful to the sight. He's not a man pleaser. He doesn't do the things that men think he ought to do. His ways are not your ways, and they're not my ways. And the revelation of Christ is freedom, is unjudged, unbounded, unadulterated freedom. And there is no law that can stand against that. All the accusing. Now, if you set accusing, then you are as a judge. And you've placed yourself in the place of God.
That's not true.
Do you judge?
No.
Have you said in your heart that these are not Christian ways?
I'm sitting here listening, and it sounds to me like you're saying it's okay to walk in sin.
What the hell does that mean?
That's what you're saying.
What does to walk in sin mean to you? I mean, you're sitting here repeating some dopey religious cliches that you memorized. What in the hell do you think walking in sin means? Did you ever read Genesis 3? It says, he that is the only child of the devil is one who for and by himself ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do you judge for yourself good and evil? Then you're walking in sin, my brother. Christ said, you shall travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you shall make him twice the child of hell that you are.
You think Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden?
For judging good and evil.
And taking the authority and dominion of the earth because they judged good and evil?
That's exactly what it was. Read it.
They got kicked out because they ate, and God told them not to, and Satan lied to them and told them they surely shall not die.
But why was that? What's the original sin then?
They disobeyed God.
The original sin was to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil so they could be as gods. So they could run around with like little gods judging for themselves who was good and who was evil and what was right and what was wrong.
That's how the serpent beguiled him. Remember?
That's how he the said, serpent beguiled him.
God didn't want to take a bite because then you'll be like God. So then they went ahead and did it.
Read it word for word. Read it again.
See, what, see why.
Well, this isn't getting anywhere. I mean, you've got your mind made up, and so be it. I mean, you know, there's a whole, there's 5 billion religious people that agree with you, and I say, you know, that's fine. You can do what you want. But I, for one, the only common denominator of anybody in this group is that we have never, we will never again act.
What did Paul say in Romans? He said, did Christ die so that we could sin? He said, God forbid.
What are you talking about sinning? What are you talking? Are you thinking I'm sitting here sinning?
I'm talking about the works of the flesh.
Who's sinning?
Just by what you said there, you know.
Like I said, where?
You said, if you have this...
If you have doubt, speak it. That's the only way to deal with it. Because if there, the only, before doubt, before faith can come, doubt must be revealed. Doubt is the hole that faith fits into. Before belief can come, unbelief has to be manifested. If you sit around and act, oh yeah, I understand this perfectly. If you want to say this, I mean, I don't want to do that to you, but if you say this is the word of God, it's words about the word. The word is within you. The secret, the mystery is Christ within you, the hope of glory. He doesn't need your help, my friend. He needs you to get out of the way. He needs the Antichrist, which is your mind, to be nailed to the cross. And to you stop making judgments about whether somebody's right, wrong, or indifferent.
And how's your heart going to be ever purified?
Your heart is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. He doesn't need purification. He needs your abandonment.
What about the scripture that says that your heart is purified by the renewing of your mind?
The renewing of your... It doesn't say that, my friend. It says, let be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind.
Your heart. Needs to be transfigured.
It's your mind that's renewed, not your heart. The heart is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory.
How is the heart revealed?
By the cross, and only the cross.
By the fruits that come out of your mouth.
No, it's revealed at the cross.
Whatever comes out of your mouth, that's what's in your heart. Jesus said that.
The fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what you've spoken tonight is judgment and condemnation. That's the fullness of what's in your heart.
Only told you the word of God.
Oh, you haven't either. You've told me some cliches that you memorized in Sunday school. If you want to debate the word, I'll debate it with you any day of the week. Tell me something that you believe and is real in your life, not some cliche you've learned. I mean, I don't want to debate you because I mean you're in a different place, and that's fine. But I'm saying that your attempts to purify yourself are going to end in massive failure. And God will bring every fear that you have on your heart to bring you to the total cross so that you have seen that you are dead and He is the only one that lives. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that live, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's His faith, not yours. It's His power, not yours. Your only responsibility is to abandon yourself to prophesy. And prophesy doesn't mean to tell a future. It means to bubble forth what's there at any moment. You have been purchased. You are not your own anymore, no matter what you appear to be.
That's right. That means that I have to walk as Christ.
Oh, bullshit.
You can't. How can you
walk? You can't walk as Christ. Only Christ can walk as Christ. You're dead. I mean... You know, I understand where you're coming from, and it's fine, and there's 5 million believers that say they believe the same thing you do, and that's fine. You know, all I'm saying to you is your own worst fears are going to come upon you.
Richard, what I think, the first time that you ever called out to God, the first time you ever called out to God, it wasn't in perfection, it wasn't after you had done all the works. It was when you came to a point of need in your life, when a point where you could no longer, it was a point of desperation when you turned to Christ. That is the only place that you will ever find Him.
Do I need any less help now than I did then?
Mm-hmm. No. Of course not, but get your ideas and opinions out of the way.
But you can't do any more now than you could then. It's an illusion.
If I just throw my hands up in the air and say, well, it's all you, Lord.
That's right.
That's it.
Amen.
That's all there is.
That's
all
it.
You're
dead. You know what religion, you don't need religion. You don't need religion. Religion only means bind. That's a word, it means bind. That's not what you need. What you need is to return always to the first place that you met him.
And it's always a risk.
Return to the first love. In that first place, you cried out to him and you said, Father, I can't be any different. I've tried. There's nothing else. You know, I'm yours, Lord.
I'm wiped out.
And that's it. He doesn't want you any different. He brought every circumstance, everything that happened to you, to the point that you would cry out. And since then, you've spent time trying to avoid the process that he has set to always bring you back to that first moment of dependence on him. He doesn't need your effort. He doesn't want angels. He didn't give you that book as a rule book and a guide. He gave it to you to see what he is and the pattern of life. He showed you Israel that went into Egypt. And that traveled in the wilderness for 40 years and then entered the promise. He gave you that so you would know the life of Christ within you. You can't make the sacrifices. The temple, earthly temple, is destroyed. If you could do sacrifice, you would have to go to Jerusalem and build a temple. And sacrifice, just like God said it would have to be done. You can't do that. That's right. It is not right.
Here.
The sacrifice is the thing we read is a humble and contrite heart. And that doesn't mean somebody who, you know, walks around like that. It's one that is in complete abandonment, who makes no pretension about who he is or what he is, not even what he thinks about himself, much less what others think. And they never, never tries to change. He would not ever frustrate God in that way. Because God is the power by which we live. God is the power by which our lives are transformed.
It's like we walk in awe of what he's doing in us. So we see it take place. But when we try and help out, things go just like a monkey wrench.
When I would do good, evil is present with me. That which I would do, I cannot.
I mean, we're
who should deliver me?
We're not trying to apologize for who we are, trying to defend, you know, all the stuff that, you know, it's, but that's, there's nothing else we can do.
You have ears here if you don't.
Richard, if we weren't the way we are, even tonight, you wouldn't have responded, you know, and I'm glad you responded. And any time.
I have to respond.
That's fine. You know, from whatever place, and as often as you want to respond. But what we're talking about is not religion. And it's not binding.
See, all through the life of Christ, his ministry, he always said,
deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me.
He always said, whoever hears the word and acts upon it is like a wise man.
But the word is Christ. Whoever hears Christ is Christ and is the wise man.
Well, we're not gonna debate this any longer.
See,
I'll talk to you alone, or anybody else will. But you know, I mean, this is like—I mean, I'm sorry, but this is like kindergarten.
Of course, this is the purity and simplicity of
the
gospel. Oh
no, it's not. It's legalism. No. It's law.
Paul said, "I fear for you with a godly fear."
Okay, well, you do that, and you go pray for us, and everybody will be happy.
There's
no reason to spout scripture that we are.
My God, I spent 15 years translating that book. You want to?
There's nothing you can tell him that he won't
Well, nobody's bowing to anything. You're bowing to the law. Okay, well, praise God.
Hold on. I'll walk out with you. I'll talk. But to say rock at anybody, this does bother me.
Those kind of guys are a dime a dozen.
Unbelievable. I think that's a weird attitude.
Well, so what?
So that's what I think.
I'm happy for you. And well, probably is a weird attitude.
I think you're freaked out.
I couldn't believe that somebody would bring him here. That's what
we
I was freaked
about. 5 minutes,
how
would we know anything? He just said well,
what's wrong with bringing him here?
Nothing. I'm glad
he just wouldn't open his ears, not for a minute.
I'm glad that he was brought here because I needed to hear what Larry was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God just flowed from Larry. But this guy he was so closed. He was like, he had bars across him.
Well, it's not fair.
It's like he was in prison.
He reminded me of myself.
And he was
exactly.
It's like he had a blindfold on and stuff in his ears. And it's like everybody's, Ollie and Larry and it's like people are trying to get the stuff off of him. And he's saying, no, I want this. I want my bars. I want my earplugs. I want my bars.
When Solomon dedicated the temple, the Feast of Tabernacles was celebrated for 7 days plus 7 days leading to the eighth day. Not seven plus the eighth day. During those 14 days, they offered sacrifices for the nation. We are in the period leading to the Feast of Cessation. And what we are about for the next number of days, and we always are, is pouring out to the world. And that's the world.
Did it fail miserably?
That is the church in Egypt.
No, it's not here, it's not.
Who knows?
Yeah. Makes no difference.
But I know what you now.
Larry didn't. I mean, I don't know if whatever he did hit this guy, but it sure hit me.
Well, asking if it failed or not is putting yourself in the same position that he's in.
Oh, Tom, don't get on me now.
No, hold on.
I don't want to be in this guy's position.
But that's the point. The point is that it was brought here for something in all of us. Harry identified with what was said. I identified with what was said. I needed to hear that. I've been living in this.
That's just what I said, Tom.
Okay. Are you getting defensive over there?
Yes, I am. I don't want to be compared to this person.
Okay. Well, I still had something to say that hit me about this whole thing because I've been worried about a number of minor things, or at least they're minor now. They weren't minor.
They were minor. Now they're real minor.
2 hours ago, they weren't a bit minor, but now they're all minor. So. And it was really very neat, to have heard all this go by. So it worked. There's no question about it worked. I don't know what it did to him, but there's no question that it worked.
Was Gary on a trip?
We need to get back to Gary. You said so what, and you didn't like it when I told you so what. Is so what a valid response?
So what about what?
So what to something someone said.
So what you
No, I apologize. I can't say so what. I mean, I apologize for that. The problem was is that I have dealt with him 5 million times. And he's always, he can be very intellectual, he can be very dumb, but he always has the same format. He always has the same form.
It's like the same person that's
And he, I mean, it's he is the same person always, and I have that. I mean, I pray that each one of you has the opportunity to deal one on one with him, because in that you're seen, you're tested. You're, Doug used to bring him to me 3 times a week.
But
weren't we hens when we all first came?
Yeah.
I
mean, more or less. Yeah, but I screamed louder.
Like,
I mean,
there's like open hens and closed hens.
I would have rather. And he was, I mean, I think your attitude now is better than it was. I mean,
oh, I'd have destroyed him 5 years ago.
You know, yeah, because I mean, you don't. It's not a big, you know, big deal.
There's a point when you get nowhere.
It's not a big deal. Yeah. The fact that it's a big deal to this guy became even more evident.
I didn't see any more openness on our part than we perceived on him. It was either he see things
openness
the way we do.
Yeah, you know, the thing
openness,
is,
openness to
memorize scriptures.
But
without him. Understanding the words,
there wasn't any him there.
I didn't. He would never say that.
Never say
he
was.
I asked him over and over to say what was bothering him.
Yeah, the thing that was bothering was all this, you know, fuck yous and
maybe that was.
I didn't
never got
that.
It was obvious.
We had a lot of.
Well, the great thing is he sat here for an hour and heard the words, so it's too late now.
Well, what would you rather?
I find a haughtiness in this crowd that is very disturbing.
What would you want?
I do. And I think it's strong.
What would you want, Gary?
I don't think the truth needs to be defended so vehemently, to be shouted, to be pressed, to be, oh, you dumb shit. God, are you still thinking that crap? God almighty, I can't believe you're so fucked up. Now here's the way it is. Now, you see it the way I see it.
Well,
listen back to the tape. You know, I found more frustration in trying to express the simplicity of what we believe and feel. It disturbed the hell out of me.
Well, there was such a conflict in the spirit, if you will, going on. I mean, it was like...
Do you have any idea what was going on there?
It was heavy.
Well, I think you would try and say that I don't.
Do you understand who that was?
Who was that?
It was the Antichrist incarnate.
Amen.
And you don't believe that?
What does that mean?
It means that he represented Antichrist and everything about Antichrist.
Every one of our minds.
No.
But we don't believe our minds. Or
we've gone through it.
Here.
Well, then I don't really understand what just happened. Everybody else seems to understand, but I don't.
Well, I think you identified with him as I did.
I did, yeah. Too.
Yeah. I did too.
But I think you identified with him a lot stronger than I did.
And then, at some point, right before the thing ended, I saw what Ole just said. I mean, it's like I was right in the same position. I was getting uncomfortable that everything was. I mean, it was like a battle.
It was a battle.
Yeah.
Definitely a battle.
But see what was going on.
Trust me.
It had to be no compromise. There is no compromise.
Why there's no compromise? I part of it is I don't feel like he was heard, you know, and I feel like there's a thing of fuck him. He's nobody.
No.
He's meat.
I don't feel
and he
that
can
way
go
at
on
all.
Or well I do.
If there
I felt
been.
Like
well,
I
let
was
let him just... let Gary finish.
And I don't feel like he was, you know, he had some big problems. Big religious stuff programmed into him that was very real to him enough to respond to it. And, you know, labeling him the Antichrist is an easy way to shove him out the door, and that's fine. I'm not going out there either, you know, so whatever, for what that's worth. But
I'd like you to hear me for a minute on a different, look at it from a different viewpoint for a minute. He came in here as an angel of God. Angel just means messenger. Mm-hmm. And he came in here so that heresy might be seen.
Amen.
So that the clarity of the doctrine would be so crystallized that there was no doubt, no shadow, no turning.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He had no other function.
Mm-hmm. And he served a purpose.
He served a purpose.
No doubt.
And then he was dismissed. He was utilized as a hammer would be.
I really prayed the whole time all this exchange was going on. I prayed for something crack a chink in him, yeah, to make him crack and make him be real.
The moment
make him say, I feel blah blah blah.
The moment I tried over and over to get him to say one honest feeling. One emotion, and all he was incapable about. All he could do was repeat a cliche.
He sounded like an autistic.
And so in that context, in the third or fourth time, he was done.
I think in this instant, it would be good, you know, for you to listen to the tape and to hear everything, like what Liz was saying and what Ollie was saying and the brokenness in this group. And then hear him in contrast. To have seen that and to heard the songs, as Larry was saying, you know, you surely saw something, and then something didn't fit with his
crew. Well, no, it happened many. It happened the moment I opened my mouth. I saw it out of the corner of my eyes. Yeah. He went like this.
Yeah.
And then he went like this.
Mm-hmm. It's just incredible, the contrast.
But that's the point, Gary. It's not a light thing. It's not a thing that, please, I tried. I don't know how many. I don't know whether it's three or four or five. I tried to get him to be real by asking him what he felt.
Yeah, I saw that, and I saw.
Okay, the
I
moment.
Saw his responses of, it was as if he started to get down to it, but it was a little too much for him, so he found an escape through a scripture.
Yeah, but every time, every one of his responses was a cliche. And he didn't even know what the words meant. I'm sure he knows what they mean religiously. But, I mean, there was a point in time in which it says, all right, this is enough. There's hundreds of places where this happened in the scriptures. I don't want to bore you with them, but...
It could be those points are different for... You've been through it 100 times. Gary hasn't been through it 100 times, so the point at which he would let go is maybe further down the road, and so at this point he just feels it was premature.
That's fine.
Because I was sitting here thinking the word never is given out that it returns void.
But that's not this word, that's Jesus.
I know, but I mean, we spoke Jesus, I'm not going to sit here and go, that guy's never going to see.
Well, that's not our business. That's not our business. It has nothing to do with it.
That's kind of what you think we're saying.
But I was responding
to the frustration of this group.
It's like there was not one glimmer of openness, not one glimmer of...
But see, a casual observer would say by the same thing, there was not one glimmer of openness in me. I mean, that doesn't wash in the context. I don't care.
You don't have to be open because you're convinced it's the truth.
But and openness being the same about thing. Feelings he's, or whatever.
Yeah, I wanted him to get real. That was the mm-hmm. only basis of conversation. I mean, we could argue scripture all the time. I don't care about that.
I saw a unanimous kind of a feeling that God is in control of these kinds of things, and we're not. And so we can just go ahead and be ourselves and say what's in us to say to the guy without an underlying feeling of, well, if I say this, am I going to screw up what God's doing, or am I going to help what God's doing?
In fact, is it going to support what he just said, or he just said, or he just said, or whatever?
And, you know... And,
I wish somebody would have supported him. That's right. But it got to be boring after a while. I was easily bored.
All I can tell you, and this is specifically for Daryl, but it's also for me, I've been waiting since August 13th for this.
What happened August 13th?
That's when we started taping this. This is wonderful.
Yes. And then
this will go platinum.
Well, I have to say, I don't want this to end in Gary. I mean, with Gary until it's through,
right.
Because I'm gonna get it when we get it. If it's not taken care of, and I have borne my burden in that area. I'm not bearing it anymore. So get it out now.
This is something that's been working, you know, and it's kind of a crux of a lot of the stuff that's been bothering you, I think, you know, this kind of a deal, you know, and it's like everything kind of branches out from a situation like this, you know, you can kind of see what's going on, and things start to line up where you are and what you're thinking, and, you know, and this will probably be a good time to just talk about that.
Okay.
May I say something? No. There's a, I think in these kind of situations, there can be a fear manifested that, you know, hey, I was in that guy's place. I had all those thoughts and opinions. And what if somebody hadn't, you know, pressed me? Then I would be in darkness. You know, but that, you know, that fear has to be addressed and seen that God is truly, completely, you know, in control. And that, you know,
if we can't invest in that God, can't.
Yeah, right. If we heard, you know, we heard. And
let me,
you know,
part of the thing that bothers Gary, I think, is me, obviously.
Well, you've got a lot of friends tonight.
No, well, but whether I have it or not.
Okay.
Forget.
But I feel like there's an awful big bandwagon.
Yeah, let's drop the band. Let's cut the band. Let's cut it off.
Even cutting the bandwagon.
Wait, let's just, we've cut the bandwagon, and this is just you and I for a minute. Yeah. I didn't sit here and make decisions, step 1, 2, and 3, and 4, that I was going to respond in the way I responded. And all I can say is, and don't jump on me in this for a minute, you have the luxury of being a Monday morning quarterback. And you can now say and look and see, how did Ole respond to that man? I didn't sit here and think about how I was going to respond, and therefore I didn't have the luxury of deciding whether or not that response was right or wrong. All I did was respond. Instantly. I didn't think about 1 second. Whether it was right or wrong, I don't know. Now, don't anybody say anything a minute. I'm not going to be tricked into judging myself whether it was right or wrong.
Amen.
I respect the fact that you may think it was wrong, and that's fine. But I want you to see yourself in my position at that point. Now, whether or not my position, not my office as teacher, but just as if you would have been the one responding to it. Now, and then think about how many times how people could have said, okay, Gary, you didn't respond right. You were too nice to him, or you were too tolerant, or you were too slothful, or, you know, all the other possible twos that are your buttons. I just responded. I'm not going to defend the response. And I'd ask you not to break fellowship over that issue. And that's my prayer.
Great. I've got an awful lot of stuff in me about this type of thing. I don't want to break fellowship with you, but I don't want to not be heard in the way I feel on this.
No.
Because for some reason, I've got a, and I can't even come up with the right label, but it's like a governor in me that, I don't know if fear is the right word, but that does something about the feeling of our uniqueness, and that bothers me, that we have to be different, that we have to be totally opposite, that we have to be something completely different than everyone else to justify our group. And if anybody else is like us, then we'll find a way to not be like them so we can remain unique, remain special, remain something completely different than everything else in the world. And that keeps us feeling different and separate from everything else. And that, I still am not over that. Now, if I'm sick or whatever it is, I don't know.
No, it's not sickness, but it's the definition of the word sanctify.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Sanctified means completely separate and distinct from everything else in the world.
But if you are, you are. You don't have to make yourself that way to remain that way. Granted. If you feel like there's a need in you, you will find a way. And this is something I noticed the other day. And I'm the opposite. That's why this is happening. I can't find anybody that I can't agree with, almost. I can talk to them, and we find a place to agree. You talk to someone, and you find a place to disagree. And it's, You gravitate to that, I gravitate to that. I'm the one that's bad in that sense, and you're the one that's good in that sense, in this body.
Should we trade places?
I don't think I can handle it.
No. But
that's an interesting, I mean, that's, I think that's, there's something to that in the sense of, you know, the body needs everything. But I think the, I think why you, you know, kind of bonded, you know, to this guy.
Why did the elders bond to that guy? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, listen, I mean, there's something.
We need new elders.
Well, I did just because I saw myself, you know.
I saw his knee.
I saw.
And he was reacting to the song.
But the this guy, you know, didn't, it was like seeing, like we read tonight, your own fears come upon you. It's like this guy wanted. And I, you know, still have things like that of wanting to get it all down. And then, but my fear is that, or somebody said, it was like to get it all down and then have it all fall apart or find out it was all wrong or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so your fear of having that happen makes you not ever, you don't ever find out what it's all about. It's like your fear just happens before you can get going, you know, on finding out what we're talking about, you know. And
it's like
the substance of what's been talked about is different from just the technique of how we're talking about it. And I think you're picking up on the technique, because if there was the substance of what we're talking about was there, the technique becomes, you know that the technique is meaningless, you know, because the substance is so true, mm-hmm. that it just blows everything else away, you know. The truth is there for this guy to see, and what we do or how we do it, how things happen or what we, you know, I saw the opposite of what you saw about being unique and trying to think we're the, I saw less of that tonight than ever before. And so, you know, that's why I'm freaked out, because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm seeing.
Yeah, there wasn't one scripture he said, there wasn't anything he said that we could have argued with. It was like,
yeah,
okay.
Let me ask everyone in here something. I'm sure this has never happened to anyone, but please, beep, 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 beep.
No. Yeah.
I'm sure this has never happened to anyone, but please respond by raising your hand anyway. Have any of you ever doubted that the doctrine is right?
Oh, Lord. Talk, what do you mean by that?
Like, let's get to how many times a day.
Okay.
All I know is it better be right.
Okay. Now, because of the way in which this thing took place, you associate the doctrine with me. Fortunately, it's no longer like, you know, most of you don't. Some of you do still. Some of you still are thinking this is, because I can hear it when you say, Oli said, or this, you know. Until each of you are fully convinced in your own mind, two things. One is that it's totally and 100% accurate. And two is that it's been worked out and you've borne your own burden and it doesn't have anything to do with Oli. Then these kinds of things will cause you to have angst. I mean, it'll happen automatically. I mean, it's not just Gary. I mean, tonight, other times it'll be anybody. I mean.
Okay, I don't doubt the doctrine. The doctrine is a buzzword that means, you know, all it means is Christ. I think, as far as I know, we're all fully convinced that, and Christ is preached and the cross is preached. There's no.
Okay, do you think that what he was saying had anything to do with the cross?
I think that's what was missing in this guy, is the cross.
He had nothing to say about the cross. He was an enemy of the cross.
I think that's true.
Okay. Now, that...
But I think the problem was...
You think I was too hard on him? Or too righteous? Or too... something?
I guess it just wasn't handled to deal with this personal guy here. I think a lot of it was fulfilling our own need to justify what we believe.
No, bullshit.
That's what I'm telling you. No, don't bullshit me.
No, but what I'm telling you is that I just got bored with him, and I wanted to leave.
Well, that's wonderful that you, yeah, I mean, that's what you did. You got bored and tried to push him out the door.
And I did.
Because
after several attempts at trying to get to some point of reality, he was an Atman, or whatever you call him. And he repeated, memorized scriptures. And it was time to close the door. Now, that was my judgment.
But everybody is not owed.
If your judgment was different, then, you know, I mean, don't condemn me for it. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, well, I've got to get out what I'm, the way I think, and you know the way I think. I don't like your kitchen comments, Harry.
Well, it's a valid comment, Gary.
What did you say?
It's a valid comment.
What did you say? I don't even know what he said.
I made it from the kitchen because that's where I was, Gary.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say it with my head in the room.
Yeah.
The comment is, if the man was dismissed too early, if I feel he was dismissed too early, I'd be out on the lawn with him. Larry is on the lawn with
him. Right, that's not what I felt like doing.
Okay, well, I don't condemn you for that.
Okay.
And you've been in this guy's situation in here so many times that I think that experience is... That's
probably a big part of it,
you know.
Is he was not to be heard, and he's given labels. He's an Ottoman, he's the Antichrist, he's every other thing that you want to label him so you don't have to give him any humanity.
But that's all we saw. There was absolutely nothing else to see about the man. There wasn't any reality. I mean, there was nothing... But if I had seen one glimmer of anything else, I think I could have stuck it in out, you know. If I had seen one little ray of anything but those things that we have labeled him.
Okay, this is what you and I have experienced. I don't feel like, you know, it's hard to get down to where I'm at. You know, I got to drill for oil to get down to what's in me. And you don't. You know, you've got me pictured as something that I'm not. And this is what we talked about last night.
But what does that have
because
to do
with what
we were
talking about?
Because
you don't hear me and you don't get down to where I'm
like
coming
to.
From.
I would
and
like
we didn't
to
get
know.
Down to where he was coming from. We dismissed his religious...
We tried to, though.
Well, I don't think we did.
Well,
I think we exercised our own...
He got up and left.
It probably would have
been
better.
Well, I just saw something different and maybe what I saw is totally out to lunch. Everybody seems to think so, but...
Well, again, I mean, all I'm asking any one of you is not... I didn't sit and decide to do all that stuff. And so...
There's something about, like, when we speak to the world, if this is the way we speak to the world, then we will receive a lot of heat. But it won't be because of what we're saying, I don't believe. I think it'll be because we're caught up in our own stuff more, though everything we say is perfectly right.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that I feel a need to justify the scriptures? I mean, that's what you said earlier when I said bullshit. That do you think that I feel a need to justify?
Probably sometimes. I don't think that consciously. If I do, I'm not aware of it, but do you think so?
Do I think I feel a need to?
I mean, you got all frustrated and worked up about the deal, and that's part of what I was seeing.
Well, it was just boredom. I mean, I didn't do what I used to do. I mean,
Yeah.
Well, the dealies are and what we think about it are really... You know,
yeah,
the material. I don't want any. I'm glad that you know. I don't want it to break fellowship.
I don't either.
But I do want it to get down to what's
well,
going
is,
on.
Well, this is
will
this
break
is,
fellowship.
Yeah. This is the a thing is, where we need to just you know.
I mean, I'm
keep talking.
I'm with Gary, and I haven't been able to get in a word all night. And that bothers me. I'm with Gary. It bothers me that.
that the odds are against me like this. And I'm really disturbed by this, but I'm really distraught. I have been for years over this phenomenon of having to justify ourselves. I don't see it in you this time, but I see it in, in different people, and bothers the hell out of me.
Should we have discerned that he was not going to hear? Well,
and
by the way...
No, I don't care. No shit tos. Let's just hear you.
What did you say? Shut up for a second, John. Shut up.
I didn't hear what you said.
This is the very thing that bothers me. You can't... Everybody's so anxious to get in their words. Why is everybody so anxious to talk to this guy? Why is everybody so anxious to respond to me? I mean, what is this crap of everybody having to get in their two bits? And some of Harry's comments really bothered me. This haughtiness, I picked up haughtiness from Chris, from Harry, just driving me crazy.
And what comment? I'd like to know specifically.
Okay, specifically, when the guy left, he said, well, he's hurt, it's too late. And it's not just tonight, but something's bothered me about...
Do you know what I meant by that comment?
It's not an attitude. It's an attitude he's picking up. It's
an attitude,
not a...
Harry. And it's an attitude in the kitchen, the remark to Gary. It's almost like, this bothered me about you, I never realized it until tonight, it crystallized. It's something about you, it's like you found it, you've been through a lot, you've struggled, you know, you've had some bad times, but you found it, and now it's like, my God, I found it, fuck everybody. And maybe I'm misreading, but that's my gut response, and it bothers the hell out of me, that because I empathize with you, and I think we're very similar in a lot of ways, but that is a glaring thing that I just hate. And there are 6 or 7 remarks tonight you made to the guy that just reeked, in my opinion, of I've arrived and I'm going to be hardline because being hardline is being right. And I'm going to be hardline. And this necessity, I think you feel to be hardline and absolute. That's almost, you feel need to be that way above the need to have a true belief system or something. And Chris, it bothers me some of your comments. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not going to be picking on you, but it's like you kept wanting to get in your words, and here I haven't seen you in 3 months. And I mean, you're after the guy like, you know, I'm right.
You know, again, don't try to justify each other's position. Just hear what he has to say.
Everybody had to get in. Judy had to get in 2 bits a dozen times. And I want to get in my 2 bits, but I couldn't, and I'm just like, I want to get in my 2 bits too. But then after a while, I said, this is Rick's. Why are we having to yell at the guy? Why was Larry? I agreed with Larry's words, but why does Larry's volume go up every time he gets worked up with God stuff? I mean, I think that's neat. I think it's crap. I mean, why can't we dissociate loudness of voice from God stuff? And only you that would, but somebody doesn't, I've seen it so many times, it doesn't bother me. When I see it in Larry, or even, you know, Judy or somebody else will raise their voice a little bit or talk faster, and it's, you know, where is this coming from? Was this a prerequisite for being a Trinity Foundation guy?
It's exciting to me. This was
neat. Is it exciting because, like Gary, we're having a chance to finally show how different and unique and cool and God that we are?
No, it makes you think. I mean, it was the hearing of that whole thing. I didn't want to blow the guy off. You know, if he wanted to hear or whatever, I would have loved for him to have heard. And maybe we should have, not entered into this terribly one-sided debate with him. I mean, maybe that should have been completely different. You know, maybe later on down the line, after we've done this a few hundred times, we'll say, wait a minute, you know, there's a basic real problem here that's going to take a long time to discuss, and so will you go discuss it with him, you know. But we haven't been through this 500 times. This was just neater than hell to me, because it was just like, here's all this stuff, and I'm believing, my beliefs are being tested, and they're coming through the test. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I loved it, you know, and I hated that guy didn't see anything, and I hate, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, we overwhelmed him, but if I believe that all things are of God, then I have to believe that he was here to show us something, and that if he was here to hear, he would have heard. And if he was here to show us something, he's here to show us something. And we didn't best God. You know?
there's something that happens spiritually when this situation comes up, where you begin subconsciously to realize that here's a person who is burning in a fire. And you become, you get in, it's like you get into this thing of, you know.
Snatching him out.
It's like a real person in a real burning building, trying to make them understand the building is burning. And if there was anybody burning, this guy was burning.
I didn't see that to quite the extent you did.
Well, man. But I saw it. That's, I think that's what I was
now,
hearing.
Now here, I said my piece. Now everybody's got to respond.
No, I get tired of this crap. I need to know something. Well, this now, is, you heard, when you were listening to Larry, you heard Larry speaking with a raised voice and emotion, and you were uncomfortable with the way that Larry was speaking to the men. Is that what?
I think emotion bothers y'all.
No, that's not true. When emotion is reality, it doesn't bother me. I don't think his emotion was reality. I think it's worked up, maybe unconsciously, and I don't judge it, whatever. But I sense bullshit in it. I sense bullshit in some of your haughtiness.
First of all, I'm haughty. There's no question about that.
You're what? I'm sorry.
Haughty.
Haughty.
There's no question about that. But that's not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is how it's interesting to me that you and probably some other people were hearing Larry in a certain way and having a reaction to it, and at the same time, in the same room, the same words, I was sitting there with my head down and my eyes closed, and Larry was talking to me. And I did not hear him that way. I heard him speaking clear, strong, true. I mean, he was preaching to me.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.